Morning. I feel like this microphone was made for me this morning. Anybody else who's tried to use it, it's just been like, nope, it's going to. My name is Erin Glanville, lead pastor here at Artisan. If I hadn't met you before, I would love to, so feel free to come and say hello after the service, the gathering. This morning, we're continuing in a series that we're doing this summer on metaphors for God. And I was wondering if Frankie would be here, because I was going to ask Frankie, can you explain metaphors for everybody? Because I feel like, you know, once we've repeated it enough times, like, do we need to keep telling people what we're doing here with metaphors? And sometimes you do, but it'd be more fun to hear it from her. But she's not here, so I'll do it. We're looking at metaphors for God in this series. And what we're doing is with each metaphor, we're overlapping God, who is so beyond our language and our experience and our understanding, with something that we know viscerally. Shepherds, bread, pens, love. So God is our shepherd. Jesus is the bread of life. God is the vine, we are the branches. God's beyond language, beyond experience, but we're studying these ordinary things to try to understand God a bit better. 2 weeks ago, after I preached on breath, Glenn came up to me and offered what he thought is the metaphor for the metaphor series. So I thought I'd pass it on. And that's just this idea that, like, these tiny little pictures that are actually like complete pictures, creating a fuller picture. And I was thinking, like, this is a really great idea. And we kind of hope that by the end of the series, our picture of God looks more like this than this second option, which it could also look like. And actually is probably more accurate, right? So incomplete in terms of how we know and understand God. And that's part of the freedom, I suppose, in understanding our creaturely limits. The metaphor that I use for metaphor is of a window. So the idea that metaphors are like hinges on windows that help us access God in everyday life. They just open a new vantage point onto God. So understanding God as bread opens a new way of understanding and thinking about, experiencing, talking about God. But that sometimes, as we're trying to see the unseeable, our hinges get locked shut, they get fused, where we forget things like Lord is a metaphor. And so it stops being able to speak to us in fresh ways about God. And this series is kind of help us oil those hinges, kind of open up those metaphors again so we can see God in new and fresh ways. So that's the kind of metaphor for metaphor that I was thinking of. And Glenn added the new one of this. Actually, it's not a collage. It's, what is it? A mosaic collage or something like that. Anyways, the artists in the room are probably not here because they're not saying anything. one of the problems with words is that they go by really quickly. So we can have like a word image and we can use it. We're reading it in scripture and it just goes by really fast. And actually it's hard to sink into it. So I've got an activity for us in the second half of the sermon that I'm hoping will help us just really sink into the metaphor for today. Sometimes we need these things, right, to get our senses going. We're saying God's like a lemon. Let's get lemons out. Let's start tasting lemons so we really know what we're talking about. And it doesn't just go by, right? That's not one of our metaphors. But today, our metaphor is mother. And actually, it's a more prevalent metaphor in the Bible than you might think. It's all over the place in really small and subtle ways. And today, we're looking at two places where it shows up. And you heard them earlier in Scripture. So Psalm 131 is the first one. Where we are like weaned child, or weaned children, and God is our mother. And then Luke 13, where Jesus refers to himself as the mother hen and says, I want to gather up my people in protection. And that metaphor is actually, it's also in Matthew. And Matthew 23 is a place you could look it up. And it's based on Psalm 91. So it's not like a one-off. It's actually a built metaphor, right? It's a metaphor that continues across scripture. So what I want to do first is there's a few little things with this. First, I thought we could read through each of these passages, and I just want to hear what you hear as you listen to the passage. What do you hear about mothering in these passages, and you don't have to have experience in the role of a mother to be able to access this. So it's anything that you hear about mothering in the passage. I'll read them each through and then just ask that question, what do you hear? And then I think find it, we'll have another activity that gets us a little bit deeper into these metaphors. Okay, so let me read this first one. And just notice what you notice about mothering, and I'll invite sharing right when we're done. O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my look haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or what is beyond me. But I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child am I in my mind. O Israel, wait for the Lord now and forever. Okay, imagine that image, that metaphor of a weaned child with its mother, us with God. What does that bring up for you in terms of mothering? Just anything. It could be word association, or it could be something a bit, like a full sentence about what it means for you. What's that? Sorry? Trust. You see a relationship of trust? Yeah.
The idea of being a weaned child makes me think that there is an independence, although we have been dependent and obviously still turn to that mother, but we are weaned in the sense that we aren't as like we're meant to be doing our thing as well.
Yeah, great. Independence, but also some dependence, a different level of dependence. Yeah.
Connected but not reliant.
What's that? Connected but not reliant? Okay. Great. Yeah. 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 A child is kind of spaced out on love, like they've just been fully fed. They do not need more food. They're just kind of, yeah, it's great, yeah. And that fits really well with the rest of the psalm too, right? Yeah, that's sort of like, okay, I don't need constant information. I can kind of trust and let go of a few things. Okay, great. I mean, one of the things too is that when a weaned child is on its mom's lap, it's not so fussy. Like if you have a child who's been fed and they are on your lap, suddenly they're like, oh, I smell milk, I'm supposed to eat, right? And so there's an agitation even when you're not hungry for some babies. So this is like a, you know, I don't even need that ever. I can sit here quietly. Okay, let's look at Luke 13, do the same thing. Luke 13, 31 to 35, another image here of God as mother. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go tell that fox, I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem." Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Okay, what comes out in terms of mothering in this passage for you, this hen gathering her chicks under her wings? This is Jesus, I'm talking about himself. Yeah, Peter. Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Okay. So like fierce protection and the way that that is in the animal kingdom, that that's goes across the board. There's a lot of animals for whom there's this fierce protection of between the mother and child. Yeah. Anyone else? Anything else added here? Yeah. Yeah. A deep longing to connect and protect, but also not forcefully. Like it's, if you do not want my protection, that's okay. I'll allow, you know, I won't insist, sort of thing. Yeah. So kind of autonomy, again, a little bit like in the first passage. Yeah. Anyone else on this one? Yeah. Yeah, this really, okay, this move from violence to we're all together underneath the protection here, but then also we're under the protection of a defenseless animal. That's really interesting, right? It's almost, okay, can a fox, because there's Herod the fox, can a fox actually, like, can chicks be protected against the fox by a mother hen? You know, there's that, that raises this, the question with this metaphor. And then it's, the question is, what kind of protection then is being offered here? And it's certainly not the strength of violence, right? But potentially it's the strength of love, right? That love becomes the protection, the togetherness becomes the protection. Yeah, it's really interesting to have a defenseless animal as the metaphor for God here, but who's a mother who wants to protect. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead, Glenn. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Yeah, so it fits with the narrative also of Jesus and where Jesus' story is heading, where Jesus knows he is heading on his own sacrifice. Yeah. I mean, one thing I noticed in all of this as I was looking at these passages is just that the mothering isn't about necessarily a role, but it's about a function, right? So when I think about mothering, I think about what mothers do, right? Or what people do when they are mothering. Because I think that this goes so far beyond sort of gender or sex. It's about the functions of mothering in a community. And this is part of how, like, metaphor going far beyond what our understanding of a mother is that God could be mothering and hold this function of being a sort of central relational, caregiving protector. So meals that neighborhood groups give one another when someone gets sick is a kind of mothering, right? Or protests that people organize to rally around, that's a kind of mothering in our culture. Or a volunteer who fixes the things in this building for free, that's a kind of mothering, if you know what I mean. So it's this function of caregiving, protection, care for the community, but often the things that don't, unpaid, unseen, or unrecognized in our culture, at least, but that keep our shared life going. Okay, these are really brief mentions of the metaphor of mother for God, but it's really hard to get into these metaphors with just words, so we're actually gonna pass out a couple of images. I have a friend who is an artist, and I've told her that what I see in her art is she takes images from scripture and she turns them into visual metaphors. So I've been saying this to her for years. Whenever I start looking at her art, I see visual metaphors. And these are two images that are connected to these passages. One is of God as a mender. It's kind of with the world on God's lap. And the other is of the mother hen. Actually, I think she might have done it as a bit of a rooster, which wrecks the image. But we can play with that if we want. So we're going to hand out these two images. And what I'd love to do is just lead us through a Visio Divina related to these images. And the hope here, just to remind you, the hope is that we've got these like tiny windows into God in these metaphors, and they go by so quickly when they're words. They just go by so quickly. So can we kind of like open that up into an image that we sit with and just really slow down with that image and dig in a little bit deeper. And this also brings it into contemporary space too. I'm gonna lead us through a few steps and let you know, I'll tell you what they're gonna be first and then I'll lead you through them, and we'll be probably about 10 minutes or so of quiet. You'll see on one side there the mother hen, you'll see on the other side God as mender. And this is gonna be an invitation to slow down, to see more slowly, immerse ourselves in this metaphor from the Bible so that we can sink deeper into its meaning and also experience of God. The prompts are meant to bring us deeper in. This is one of the things with Lectio Divina. Has everybody done Lectio Divina before with words? Have you done Lectio Divina? Yeah, most of us. So I think Lectio Divina sometimes to me, Divina, thought is like a go to this, then we'll do this, then we'll do this. We'll think about what we see, we'll think about what we feel, we'll think about where we see God or whatever. But actually, this really, really old practice of reading scripture is meant to take you deeper in. So that's the intent here. We start with the surface. What do we see on the surface? And we move to how do we connect this to memories or senses within our own life? And then we move even deeper into how is this going to allow God to surprise or transform us? So let's take just a minute to choose which one you want to focus on. And I encourage you to just go gut level. As you look at the pictures, which one draws you most? And just choose that one. But then don't change. Once you've chosen it so that you can actually sink into it. Okay, once you've chosen that, let's begin. And I'm gonna feel free to take a bit of palate cleanser first, where you might just close your eyes and speak to God about entering into this process, perhaps asking the Spirit to be present in your seeing and understanding, perhaps just a moment of quiet without my voice, just to center and get ready to walk through these steps. Okay, as you open your eyes and take your first look at the picture, the one that you've been drawn to, don't overthink this. Just notice the colors, the lines, the textures, and the shapes. Notice what your eye is drawn to. Don't ask yourself why yet. If this is a picture of God as a mother, what's your initial response to this? What do you see? Where do you see yourself in this image? Or maybe where are the people that you love in this image? As you sit with the image, notice if there's any sensory memories that come up or personal stories that connect to some part of the image, and just allow that story or that sensory memory to connect here. Open that up in your mind, that moment or that memory, and connect it into this image of God as Mother. And the last step is just, what invitation do you hear from God in this image? Or maybe, what do you want to say to God? What desire does this image of God pull out from you? Okay, thanks for diving into that metaphor with me. I'm curious if anybody would like to share either things that you noticed about the image that opened up the metaphor for you, or anything from that last question of, like, what invitation is there in this image of God? Just want to leave some space for folks to share about that internal process with one another if you'd like to. Out of curiosity, can I know how many people chose the hen image? And how, then the rest of us, about half and half, maybe more than half, did the quilting mother. For those of you who are looking at the quilting mother one, I'm just curious what you saw in the image and how it connected to this idea of God being sort of mothering center for our life together. I might actually bring you the mic, so I don't have to repeat.
I just see the contrast in the color, the darkness, and that kind of signifies the world, kind of is, it's destructive, and there's war, and trees cut down, a lot of destruction. But the mender is still at work, creating a lot of life-giving things in the quilt, and it's colorful and light. And it just looks like it could, it's not complete, but that all the effort is being put in to perhaps cover all that destruction. And so it makes me hopeful, kind of thing.
Thanks, Bev.
Pick the mother hen, because most mothers are fiercely protective and they'll lay down their life for their young. And in a way, that's what Jesus did for us, same way.
Thanks, Randy.
I did the mother hen, and I just thought of, like, me and my sisters, because there's three of us, and, like, how the hen is, like, both mother and father and stuff, and it's, like, we can come to them for, like, shelter and stuff.
It's nice. Thanks, Ruby. Actually, I've prayed with that image a few times, where the different hens have been different people as well. I also have two sisters, so sometimes that's us underneath there.
At the risk of speaking again, this mender image is so powerful. The more you look at it, the more you see. But it's an invitation into community, into right relationship with each other, into right relationship with creation. The invitation I saw in this is joining God in the renewal of all things. It spoke so powerfully to our vision.
For sure. Thanks, Peter. So Art, for those who don't know, Artisan's sort of tagline, our mission is joining God in the renewal of all things. And for sure, this is one of those images that speaks to that for me.
I noticed at first I was really drawn to the background also and all the heavy, desolate things. And then with the invitation, in the mender picture, I felt the invitation for me was what I had come to mind when you gave that prompt was thinking of someone close to me, a young person who is in the midst of probably getting an OCD diagnosis, and all that comes with that is a lot, but this person also is just starting to sew. And we were talking yesterday about like hiring her to do some mending for us. So I felt like the invitation was like to see in my concern for this person and care for the family, like to see God in her, to see Mother God in her and the mender, and like to have vision for her life and the goodness of God in her. Yeah.
The first thing I was drawn to was the complexion of the mother figure, and obviously being brown, like I just couldn't help but think about my mom. And my mom, for those who don't know, she's quite ill. She's had Parkinson's for the last 25 years, and the only, a lot of her function has been dialed back, but the one thing that she does and her little outlet is sewing and making us blankets. And so, I have a very complicated history with my mom and our relationship, but I haven't really fully synthesized like what of a lot of thoughts and what God obviously has put on my heart. But it just, when I think of the dark background, it's the disease for her, but she's still kind of mending and kind of offering her love for us in this very limited way. And I couldn't help but see my mom in that.
That's interesting. I mean, all of this is also making me think about what we talked about, the protection being about love rather than that, like, a return of violence. So, like, the love that we're describing, the blanket that's on the outside seems kind of powerless, like baking bread or what are the different things on there? There's growing things. There's eating together. There's farming. And those things feel so kind of defenseless against what's behind in the backdrop, right? But it becomes the foreground in this picture, and there's a strength in it.
I looked at the mender image, and for myself, it felt like a call to work, a call to join and help to fix, you know, this beautiful mender. She's doing it all by herself. That doesn't have to be the case. You know, it felt like a call to participate and to help and to bring my own mending into the world as I see fit.
Thanks. Yeah.
Oh. I was also drawn to the mender because of the quilting, and I'm gonna cry, but
It reminded me a lot of my mom, who passed recently, and we sewed a quilt together a couple years ago, and I've never thought of God as my mother before, but relating it to quilting and my mom, and I think I'm connecting it that God is mending my heart the way that my mom and I sewed a quilt together.
Thanks, Leanne. Let's come to the table together and let's bring what we've seen and also what we don't quite understand even in these images and in these metaphors for God to the table. Jesus, who was headed here when he said these words of longing to gather us under his wings, longing to be protector, and then this was his way of protecting, which feels so counterintuitive, but somehow was the right thing. So let's join together and in the liturgy that's spoken, and also as another way of exploring this metaphor of bread for God.